Oh, well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? It's got a beautiful day, and it's nice to be together in God's house with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lewis Johnson. I'll be leading worship today. We have a few announcements in the back. I won't go through all of them, but I always encourage you just to look for opportunities of where you can maybe connect with ministries here at St. Mark's or be active in the community, spreading the love and the hope that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there are a lot of great opportunities for us to witness and to share the blessing and the joy that we have. So with that, let's rise and we'll begin our service. And we begin in the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning just thankful for the opportunity that we can come together as brothers and sisters and lift our hearts and our voices in praise to you and to be fed by you both through sacrament and through the word and scripture. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, be with us, guide and direct all that we do, so that all that we do, we bring glory and honor to you. All this we ask in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And next we're going to have Pastor James come up.
Good morning. So when I was a vicar, my pastor eased me into preaching by requiring me to do confession and absolution every Sunday, except he made me tell a story beforehand. So you're going to get a story today. I'm obsessed with Star Wars. Anyone else? Do you remember the first time you saw it? I do. I was in first grade. I was at a sleepover. And we saw Star Wars, and the next day, my buddy turned to me and said, "Hey, let's go play Star Wars." So we left the house. It was the 1980s, not a lot of parental supervision. And we went down the street to the local 7-Eleven. And do you remember the scene in Star Wars where R2-D2 and C-3PO are captured by the Jawas, and they're in that big sand crawler, that big metal tank? You know what I'm talking about? We found one behind the 7-Eleven. And we climbed in it, and we played in it for a good 20 minutes or so, pretending to be R2-D2, C-3PO, etc. I was driving by a 7-Eleven the other day, and that memory came flooding back when I saw the dumpster behind the 7-Eleven. And this is how we are sometimes, even as believers. Completely oblivious to the dirt and grime and trash that's just covering us at times. Going along with our day, perfectly happy and oblivious, pretending that we're not covered in garbage. Amen? If you're like me, please join me in this prayer of confession. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of your Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and your obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As a called and ordained servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive all of your sins, your entire sinful condition, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Triumphs of his grace. My gracious
Before we sing our next song, which we know is probably not unfamiliar with everyone, Great is Thy Faithfulness, we've just been taking time to really talk about the basis of, in Scripture, where our songs come from. So I'm going to read from Lamentations, beginning with the third verse, third chapter, 19th verse. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses are.
I'm your elder this morning, and we're going to be reading from Isaiah 43. In the previous chapter, God was really upset with his people. He was angry with them because they were worshiping false idols and that. And so we come to 43, and Isaiah was trying to give them assurance that God still loved them, that God still wanted them. God chose them. Just like God chose you and I as we're sitting here this morning in the pews. And it's all up to him. And so we certainly want to give him our praise and glory. And also he tells you that when you go through the rivers of troubles and financial difficulties or sickness or health, he's there if we call upon him. But we've got to call upon him to pray to him and ask him for his guidance. Now let's hear what he has to say to the children of Israel. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not burn. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious in honor in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for your nations, in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, don't hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone is called by my name. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And this is the word of the Lord.
It is time for the children's message. So if I have any kiddos, I know I have two here. Anybody else want to come down for our children's message today? No, I got enough. Okay. So I have two more. Two more kiddos coming. Awesome.
If you want to be blindfolded.
Hold on. All right, come take a seat. All right, so we just heard Mr. Krause read from the Bible, from the book of Isaiah. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But first, we have something we're going to do. So I need a volunteer who is willing to be blindfolded. Anybody? You want to do it?
No.
No? Okay, I got to have you then do it. No. Come on up. You can bring your animals with you. Come on up. Stand up here.
I don't want to.
Come on up. Come on up.
I don't want to.
Well, I need your help anyway. Okay. All right. So. Okay, then you're not going to do it.
Sadie, would you do it, please?
No.
All right. Well, then we're going to have another volunteer. Will one of you be willing to help me?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to come up here? Perfect. Now, tell me your name.
No, wait, you need my name.
Say it again.
Isaiah.
Isaiah? Or Isaac?
Isaac.
Isaac, all right, Isaac's gonna be my helper. Why don't you take a seat right there for me? Isaac, I'm gonna put this blindfold on you, okay? Come here, you're not gonna have any. We'll be just fine, just fine. It's fine to be blindfolded, right? Not a problem.
I think you have to put it over.
Okay. I'm going to fix it. Here we go. Oh, can you see? Okay. All right. Isaac, I'm going to have you come right here. All right. And then, why don't you take a seat right there? I have some helpers that I recruited back here. All right. Isaac, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen for your name. Okay? And when you hear your name, I want you to turn towards the person who said your name. Okay? Got it? Hey, are you peeking?
You cannot peek.
All right. So, Isaac, you're going to stand right here. I'm going to have my helpers come up here.
Okay, guys.
Okay. All right. Helpers, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Isaac.
Oh, you found me. All right, thank you, my helpers. Okay, we're going to take off your blindfolds.
I got it.
Okay. All right. And, okay, Isaac, was it kind of confusing to know which way to turn? Or did you hear your name right away, or was there a lot of other names going on? There were a lot of names going on, and it took a while to be able to hear your name, right? It took a while to be able to hear your name. We read in our Bible reading, there was one verse especially that said, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." All right, was it maybe a little uncomfortable to be up there with a blindfold on and you couldn't see? Maybe a little uncomfortable, maybe even a little uncomfortable with just the thought of having a blindfold on, right? There are a lot of things in our life that maybe can call out names that sound really interesting to us, and we maybe don't know how to react to all of those names sometimes, and it can be scary. Maybe there's really big problems going on in the world that we don't know how to handle. Maybe there's a time when we get into an argument with a friend at school and we don't know how to help be a good friend with people. Maybe there's times when we have scary dreams and we wake up in the middle of the night and they're scary. And there's times when we maybe just don't know how to go, right? But we have a voice that is always calling our name. And Jesus calls us by name. We are his children. We are baptized children of God. We are part of his family. And he has called us by name to be part of his family all our lives. And that's a really special thing. So we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be worried about all the things that are calling for our attention that sound like good ideas, but maybe they're scary or hard or distract us from Jesus. And it can be hard to hear Jesus calling us by name, but we know that we are children of God and that he loves us and that we are called by name into his family. Isn't that a great thing to remember that we're part of God's family? So why don't we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for calling me by name.
Thank you for calling me by name.
Thank you for making me your child.
Thank you for making
That is such an amazing gift, God.
That is such an amazing gift, God.
And God, help us to tell others about this gift that you have given them.
About this gift that you have given them.
So they would know your love too.
So they would know your love too.
And all these things we pray in your son's name.
And all these things we pray in your son's name.
Amen. All right, you can go to little worship.
Thank you, Flora. And let's please rise. Is at this time that as... Oh, actually, we have a sermon scripture reading. I was a little ahead of myself. You want me to read it? Or? Sure. All right. Sorry about that. I got a little ahead of myself. It's been a while since I've done this. Okay. Our scripture reading for our sermon is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is our sermon reading.
Good morning again. So anyone who wasn't here last week, I'm Pastor James Cleland, and I'm from Texas and Georgia. So I like Southern sayings, and our series we're doing last week and this week is Y'all Need Jesus, and maybe you've seen that on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt, but in the South, it might sound like a blessing at first, but we've managed to turn it into something else. It's something you say to someone who needs to get their act together, right? You point the finger and you say, y'all need Jesus. But there's kind of an implication when you point the finger. What are you saying about yourself? I don't know if I need them anymore, but you do. This series is all about there's never a moment in your life where you don't need Jesus. And yes, y'all need Jesus, but...
Could you try again?
New watch. Yeah, others need Jesus, but so do you every hour of the day. Amen? So that's why we're talking about y'all need Jesus. So I told a story last week about how I reached kind of the pinnacle of my summer camp career and became an executive director. Well, the first summer I ever worked at a summer camp, my idol was the executive director of that camp. I wanted to be just like him. And you know what he was into? Kayaking. So what did I save up my money to buy? A kayak. Halfway through the summer, I bought a kayak. And I got in that kayak in our little pond on the camp in the middle of the Texas Hill Country, and I became an expert at kayaking. Man, I could get from point A to point B on that little tiny pond. I was an expert. Well, a big storm came through the Hill Country, and the Guadalupe River swelled swelled its banks and became much bigger than it normally is, big enough that you could kayak on it, which isn't the norm of the Guadalupe River. So my executive director, knowing that I was into kayaking now and was such an expert in it, invited me to go kayak the Guadalupe River with him after a storm. Now, he had a decade of experience in kayaking. I had 2 weeks. The way it worked is we took both of our trucks, loaded up our kayaks in his truck, or my truck, took it up to the top of the river, right? Left his truck at the beginning of the river, and then we got in, and we kayaked all day, till we got to his truck. And it was quite the journey, because I was such an expert at kayaking. I got beat up. I almost drowned a couple times. And it was about 4 hours and 4 miles of kayaking. We get to the end, and all I've got is my flip-flops and my bathing suit, because I left everything else back up in my car. And we get to my, or back up in his car, we get to my car, and Cody turns to me and goes, "You ready to go?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Got your keys?" No. I left it up in my, or your truck with all the stuff, like my shirt, and my socks, and my hiking shoes. And the sun is starting to set. And we're in the middle of nowhere. And Cody turns to me and says, "You've got quite the hike ahead of you. You better get going." This is what we do as Christians all the time. We think we're experts. We jump in our kayak. We start going through life down that river. And we're used to the little pond. But when we hit those rapids, oh man, it gets difficult. But we're an expert. We can get through it. We jump into Scripture sometimes. And there's some more difficult passages, aren't there? Have you read all the Psalms? There's some rough ones in there. They're not all about praising. Have you read all of the epistles? There's some rough stuff in there. Kind of hits hard. We get into that river of life and in the Scriptures and Christian life, and we forget our keys. We forget the most important thing you should bring with you, besides your life jacket, the keys. I do this all the time. You might do it too. When I got to the seminary, I'm in my sixth year of schooling at Concordia Seminary. And about halfway through, when I was ordained, I started to think I was the expert. I started to think, okay, now that we've got this gospel thing down, I can preach about some other stuff. Like the what's next stuff. So I dug into the Scriptures. I kept reading the epistles. I read all of them in 1 week and realized something. Paul repeats himself a lot. He's got a unique message for each audience he's talking to, but there's some things that are similar every church he speaks to. While I'm thinking I'm going to find something new and cool to preach about, Paul reminded me there's really only one message. This is, to me, the key verse for all of Scripture. The lens that we should see all the rest of the Bible through. The lens that we should see our life through. The lens that we should see our neighbors through. Our vocation through. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." To me, this is my thematic verse for life, for reading Scripture. It unlocks everything. Those difficult parts of the Psalms, those difficult parts of the Old Testament, those difficult parts of Paul's letters have to be seen through this lens. By grace, you have been saved through faith. But what do we do in American Christianity? We try to change those words around. We try to make the gospel fit what we want it to mean. We try to change the lens. Use a different key. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith, not by riches you have been saved through donations, by knowledge and understanding you have been saved through intellect, by popularity you have been saved through friends, by Instagram you have been saved by followers, by promotions you have been saved through hard work, by politics you have been saved through posting your beliefs on Facebook and arguing with random people. I do that sometimes. By patriotism, you have been saved by the United States of America. We've turned patriotism into a supposed gospel. By happiness, you have been saved through entertainment. By education, you have been saved through achievements. By sports, you have been saved through winning. Go Aggies, we won yesterday. Doesn't save me, though. By distraction, you have been saved through video games. That one's for me. By food, you have been saved through Chinese buffets. That one's definitely for me. How often do we look to something else other than the gospel? Those things seem obvious once you think about it, those idols that we have. But there's some more slightly insidious ones that have crept into American Christianity and our churches. By grace, the saving process was started. Now through works, you finish the job. That's the gospel, supposed gospel, that is preached all across America. It's an easier one to preach to youth. I know this because I was a camp director for years and youth ministry for years. Because what's your biggest goal with youth when you're working with them? It's to get them to behave, isn't it? Unfortunately, that's what our ministries have turned into. Getting kids to behave. So then we twist the gospel and turn it into a tool to get kids to conform and behave. We take the gospel and turn it into law. And then kids start to think, I've got skin in the game. And then we start to think, I've got skin in the game. And that gets mixed in with American individualism, and it's no longer the gospel. The truth is, we have no skin in the game. We contribute 0% to our salvation. We contribute as much to our salvation as we did to our creation, for we are God's handiwork. Who in here said, I would like to be born? And it happened. You have as much to do with your salvation as you do with your creation. And here's the harder pill to swallow, because this has been an insidious thing that's infected our Christian churches. Your sanctification, being made holy here on earth, you're not doing that either. Because God created those good works for you before you were ever born. And Christ enables you to do them. Any good work you actually do, it's not you. It's Christ doing it in you, through you, despite you. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's actually liberating. Because it's not on you. But here's the crazy thing. Well, it's not your good work that you're doing out there. Who gets credit for it? You do. Just like it's not you on the cross, it's not you that resurrected. But who gets credit for it? Who gets counted as righteous? We do. This all seems like a downer, but it's the most liberating thing. Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, and the Ephesians were a lot like us. They kind of got their act together. I walked into this church last week and I was like, man, the gospel predominates here. I could just tell by talking to people. But there's this thing that happens where we start to think, okay, what now? I got the gospel. What now? More gospel. We can't boast in any of this. We can't boast in our works. We can't boast in any of those things, but we have identity in Christ. The number one question I get asked by youth in my past 20 years of youth ministry is, what's God's plan for my life? What's God's plan for my life? And the question behind the question usually is, should I go to college, this one or that one? Who should I marry? What career should I have? What's God's plan for my life? And the answer, every single time, and they don't want to hear it, and I don't want to hear it, the answer is Christ. Should I go to college or not? Christ. Should I get married or not? God's plan for you is Christ. Knowing that, resting in that, go to college. Don't go to college. Be a plumber. Don't be a plumber. Be a teacher. Don't be a teacher. Wherever you find yourself, God has put good works in front of you. What's his plan for the people around you? Christ. No matter where you are. And that is liberating. So I'm in my flip-flops, my swimsuit, and I got 4 miles ahead of me. Sun's going down. Clouds are forming. There's another storm coming. And I decide to take a shortcut. It's like, I think that road goes that way. I'll go through the woods real quick. Come out the other end, and I'm lost. I'm cut up, I'm bleeding, and I'm thinking, okay, now is the point where I'm just going to have to hitchhike. But I haven't seen a car in an hour. Going along, I think I know which way I'm going. Sun is setting. I finally see a car. It's coming my way. Don't ever hitchhike. But I put my thumb out. Drives right by me. And then slams on their brakes. They put it in reverse. I look at the truck. They roll down their windows. And some guy yells at me, James, what are you doing? Get in my car. In the middle of nowhere, it was my RA from college. He happened to be on a family vacation in the woods, in the Texas Hill Country, and drove by at just the right time. I got in the car, told him the story, and he goes, you're such a fool. There is something just beautiful and liberating. We all are beat up from this river we're trying to go down. We've lost our keys at times. But along comes Christ, calls out our name, summons us and gets us back on track with the gospel. Amen. Praise be to God.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness saw through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever.
As brothers and sisters in Christ, that we confess what we believe by reading the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you. I'm so grateful for all the times that you do come to us when we have lost our keys and lost our way, and that you call us by name, restoring us and bringing us to you. We ask that you continue to guide and direct us and watch over us as we commemorate this 20th anniversary of the attacks, both in New York and at the Pentagon, and the lives ever lost in Pennsylvania. Lord, we just ask you to continue to watch over our nation, guide and direct all of those first responders, our police, our firefighters, paramedics, everyone who puts themselves in harm's way on our behalf. Watch over them, and bless their families. We also ask you to bless all of those individuals who may be going through challenges with health, specifically a prayer for Todd Folsom, who continues the battle with COVID in the ICU. Lord, we know there are so many individuals who are battling either COVID or cancer or other illnesses and afflictions. We ask you to be with the doctors and nurses that are treating them. If it be your will, to restore them to full health. But if it's their time to be called home, let them be filled with peace and look forward to joy in that homecoming. We ask you to be with our leaders, President Biden, all of our governors, our mayors, all of those individuals who have been placed in positions of authority, that they look to you for guidance and for wisdom. All this, Lord, we ask with the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Still, you give yourself away.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his everlasting peace. Go in peace. Amen.
Before you.
But it's been great worshiping you today. For those who maybe have individual prayer needs, Darwin Krause will be in our prayer chapel. Go with God's blessings on your week.